Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Let's get this cheese, you know what I'm saying? Let's get this cheese indeed.
Oh man, seductive sounds from the one and only Vesa, friend of the network. New music for a new season. Welcome back. I'm Jack Inslee. I'm here.
Aaron Fairbanks, 2016.
With Aaron Fairbanks, yes. If you don't know who we are, then you must not know Heritage Radio. Aaron Fairbanks, the executive director, the big boss. I am the executive producer living in these shipping containers most of the time. We've got Liz Smith in the engineering booth. Woo-hoo! And this is the Week in Review, where we try our best to distill and consolidate all of the many happenings and pieces of content on the network into one little 25-minute chunk for you, so you can easily digest all that we've got going on here. So we're going to start, as we always do, revisiting our last good bite of the week. And I'll let you kick this off, Aaron. What's the last good bite you had?
Oh, man. Last good bite. First good bite of 2016. I'm going to have to go back to my roots. Have been enjoying some homemade bear stew. My dad and my brother, both avid hunters, back in Michigan, got a bear permit last year. So when I was home over the Thanksgiving holiday, definitely snagged some ground bear, made up a little bear stew, and have been getting down on that. It's like perfect for the kind of cold weather we've been having, but also I just feel like it's like I'm having like a spirit animal, like very like bearish.
Yeah. Talk to me about bear though. Like what's that meat like?
It has kind of a sweet flavor. You know, in the past when I've had it, I feel like it has been fattier, but this was actually like pretty lean, quite floral. Really just kind of like a very pleasant, like bright, bouncy kind of beef flavor to it. So it kind of puts a little bit of that like livery tang in like your bolognese situation.
You think it's a meat that might have a future, a trending future? Probably not.
No, I think, you know, the bear permits are issued pretty sparingly in Michigan. I'm not sure what the status is in different parts of the country, but the bear population is, you know, doing pretty well at like kind of maintaining itself. So there's not like a need, as there are with some other wildlife, to be more aggressively kind of hunting and or consuming them. And then, you know, raising bear in captivity for meat, just, I mean, I think it doesn't take long to think about why that might not be a great idea.
Fair enough. And shout out to Chad Pagano, host of Wild Game Domain. If you want to go further down that line of conversation and content, he tackles that every week or every so often on Wild Game Domain.
Listen, the commute from Long Island is hard.
It is. I know this. I'll make mine quick. It's just my kind of focus this year is, as much as I love eating out and visiting all the wonderful chefs doing incredible things in this great city, it's time to tighten the belt financially and cook from home more, which is almost, you know, just as fun. And I made a really, really great vegetable, a root vegetable tagine from Bon Appetit, actually a Molly Stevens recipe. And I made it because my girlfriend Odetta got me a tagine for Christmas.
Nice.
So I was able to season the clay overnight and slow cook these root vegetables with all kinds of incredible spices and preserved lemon and sun-dried tomatoes and olives, and it's very, very delicious.
Jack Inslee, champion of the kitchen. Tightening the financial belt, and what about the belt that's keeping your pants up?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Good prompt. I'm trying to lose some weight, and that means, sadly, no more daily pastries from Roberta's, as good as they are. They are sinfully full of butter and just not really the best way to start your day. So I'm on day two of no pastry.
Okay. So it is Wednesday. So if you guys are out there doing some math, you might... Anyway, take note.
There's a Monday fail.
We'll get a pastry update from Jack next week. Stay tuned.
Let's move to the studio for some clips. All right, it's that time of the program where we play some pertinent and fun clips from the network to catch you up on what was happening here in the studio. So this week, our very own Mitchell Davis is back from Milan, Expo Milano, the World's Fair. He is not only the vice president of the James Beard Foundation, but has hosted Taste Matters on this very network, and it's been quite some time since we had him in the studio, and it was nice to welcome him back. He was actually a guest on another program. He was a guest on Jen Liuzzi's program, Tech Bites, and he spoke about some of his resolutions for this year. And let's just cut right to that Mitchell clip and see what he's got in store for the year.
It wasn't a New Year's resolution, but about a week ago, I started compost, saving my scraps for composting. I'm actually a guest on my show, Gabriella Gershenson, who I was with, said she did it. And I thought, why don't I do that? You know, like I save a lot of things. We recycle, but I cook a lot and there's a lot of waste. And so I set myself up to make it easy. Like I said, I like things to be easy to work into my day. And I think that, you know, it's a simple thing. Do I think that it's going to change the planet? Probably not. I try to tread lightly, but, you know, I live in New York City and we do what we do. And so I think that on an individual level, being aware, understanding the connections and acting based on your awareness is the most we could ever hope for. I think that trying to convert everybody into a foodie is a horrible idea. I would never want to live in a world where everyone cared as much as you or I do about food, because it would just be unbearable in some ways, which doesn't mean that those of us who care can't make everyone's food better, but we have to talk about other things, right? Like, you just can't, it's just not enough food. Let people be obsessed with art and comic books and whatever also. And so I just think on an individual basis, if you just know, do, act, be aware, I think it's a lot to ask for, and it's probably enough.
Oh, man. I feel like Mitchell just gave me permission to be a well-rounded human. Thank you.
How you feel about composting at home, though?
I feel like there's a couple of things to me that represent wealth and having made it in life. Built-in bookshelves are one. An outdoor shower is one. Mm. And a backyard where I can put a compost wheelbarrow. They have these little barrels you can flip and, like, make beautiful compost is another. City composting, I'm with Mitchell. I haven't got there yet. If my fridge wasn't full of obsessively, labeled and produced batches of soups and stews, maybe I would think about using my freezer space for some compost, but I'm not there yet.
No, and I remember actually years ago, a woman that runs a company called Vokashi was on the network, and she was trying to implement some kind of municipal composting service.
We see you, San Francisco.
Yeah, yep, exactly. So who knows? Who knows what the future holds? And one more host clip here from the week, kind of like reflecting on the year that has passed. Katie Kiefer did an entire show kind of recapping some of the topics that she covered and some of the things she wants to discuss this year. And she talks a little bit about her favorite read of the year, which is the Future of Food Manifesto, which is actually on Medium, which is kind of like this cool vehicle for writers to use. And let's play a little clip of her talking about what she enjoyed in that piece.
But one of the things that they bring up in this very good manifesto is to enforce the antitrust laws that are currently on the books. And I just find it incredible that the antitrust division of the Department of Justice has not been more vigilant about controlling the consolidation of the meat business, of the seed business, of any number of other, you know, sort of giant mergers and acquisitions that take place in food production and manufacturing and so forth. This is a very dangerous, you know, move in this country. I mean, there was a reason why Teddy Roosevelt back in the day and created all those antitrust laws, because it takes away competition and it harms farmers and consumers. It really does need to be addressed, and people should be lobbying heavily for that.
Heavy stuff.
I must be like my lefty leaning personality, but anything with manifesto in the title, I'm like, I would like that, please. You know, I just, it's like, it's cool. Like, I one of the things I appreciate about Katie and her show and then the network more generally is there's just so much out there, man. There's like so many people writing. There's so many platforms. There's so many opinions. And like having a spot to go where you can kind of get a little bit of a digest and someone can say like, hey, these are some things I've highlighted for you. I really look to her in that space to kind of like be, you know, sticking a finger at the man, but also like chatting with the man. So yeah, hats off to you, Katie.
What about, in your view, what are some of the things that we should be looking for in 2016, issues to address, future of food, anything really like buzzing in your head?
Okay, so 2016, it's a huge election year. I think anyone who's been following politics over the fall season, especially electoral politics, is like, guys, what the hell is going on? But one of the things I think is really cool is as candidates are out there campaigning, trying to get themselves known, connect with community, get in front of press, they are way more accessible now than they're going to be as legislators, as presidents of our country. So I think it's like getting bugs in the ear of people who are on the come up. Campaign stops here at Heritage Radio Network need to be a must. And
that's,
I think, you know, pushing these folks to be thinking about a food, talking about it, engaging in it, pulling together people who are way smarter than me and you to help advise them and think about them and being like, hey, this is an important part of my agenda for the year, I think is going to be really big. It's a great opportunity. There's a lot at stake and people are hungry and open right now. So, you know, get your politics on. Donald, Hillary, Bernie, y'all, come on down.
Kanye.
We got a seat for you. You know what? Kanye has like a magical, like just like space in the studio whenever he wants to come by.
That's absolutely true.
It's like dope with me.
I try to channel him as much as possible. Let's move on. let's hit the breakdown and talk some more year-end lists.
So amped.
I know, right? So you hear that, you hear those sounds, you just envision Kanye West getting hype in the studio with us. He's here amping us up. So as we alluded to, so many year-end lists, so many outlets, resources, articles, lists, things to recap. It was overwhelming for me this year. I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like I tried to round up all of the articles that kind of summed up the year, and I was like, oh my God, there are a lot. This year the output was heavy.
It's just like one of those things where it's like a love to hate, you know. I can't help but click on that.
I know, I clicked them too. It's,
yeah, I mean, you look,
right?
At like the whole rise of BuzzFeed and you're like, you put top 10 in front of something, I'm like, yes, I need to know. Top 10 flannel shirts. I think Liz, Jack, and I are all sporting the flannel today. I want to know more about your flannel situations. But it's like a human thing where we're like, the many is like too hard for us to wrap our head around, but 10, I can get 10 of anything, you know, break it down for me.
I'm going to play a game with you. So I collected a bunch of these. I want to read the headline and I want to know what Erin Fairbanks is clicking on and what she's rolling her eyes at and passing on.
Oh, brother.
So let's see here. We'll start easily. Okay. How about this? Most scathing restaurant reviews of 2015, click or pass?
Ugh. Guilty pleasure, totally clicking.
So you're like feeding into the negativity. That's what it is. It hits that instinct for us, right?
Well, yeah, and I'm kind of like, I'm assuming it's like that gossip gene where you're like, oh man, I like, did I miss something? Like, I feel like, you know, Guy Fieri comes to mind. Maria, I think that, you know, he just put a big article out in the Times, and like those things become news in their own right. Like a really great review is just as powerful as a really bad review. So anything at, you know, wide ends of the spectrum has like a special appeal.
I'll say, just to add something, I'd like to see more scathing reviews. I feel like there's kind of a fear editorially sometimes with some of these reviews, and there's a lot of congratulating and a lot of backpatting, and I'd like to see, you know, A little less fear out there.
I would like Mimi Sheraton to come back and do a round.
Oh, please.
Because she is like...
She'll give it to you straight.
Straight from the hip. I mean, you got to check out. She's done a couple of great interviews on Cherry Bomb, on The Morning After. And if you want to know what food critics are doing right and wrong, Mimi's got some opinions.
Mm-hmm. She also says, the hell with kale. Which is...
I can't get behind that.
No, me neither. Divisive statement, but you got to respect her for going with it. All right. How about this one? Cookbooks we fell for in 2015. Unnamed publication. We're not going to reveal here.
I don't care about cookbooks, but that's just because I like work professionally as a cook, so it's like not my bag. But I don't know. Maybe you feel differently.
No. I mean, I have to pass on that one, too. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not clicking it. I like cookbooks. I cook from cookbooks. I've had a chance to receive many great cookbooks this year, but I'm just not clicking that link. No. I don't know. Sorry. Next one. 15 ways to eat healthy-ish in 2016.
I feel like that article, like the subtitle should be, will ultimately let you down / tell you things you already know. Because, health, it's like, we're not confused about what healthy eating is. Like, you kind of, like, know what you're hoping when you click on that there's some, like, magic bullet in there. There's just not, unfortunately. I'm not clicking on that either because I've already clicked on it 700 times. So I'm good.
Same. All right, here's an interesting one. Eulogizing the dearly departed restaurants of 2015.
You know, I gotta say, I had some sads when, Do or Dine closed, Scratch Bread closed.
I mean,
I'm a Bed-Stuy girl. And
you and me both.
And I think, too, you just have a moment where you're like, if the only way to be a supporter is to be a supporter, and I'm like, I should have gone more, and I need to go more. And I feel like those things, I'm kind of clicking because... where you shop, where you spend your time, where you spend your money kind of creates the world that you get to live in. And I'm trying really hard to not be caught up in the like hot new next thing and be like cultivating relationships with people in my community and showing up and supporting, friends and people doing super rad shit.
Let me play devil's advocate on that one, though. I heard the same thing and I feel that. But Scratch Bread had a fucking line around the block every time I went there. So I was really confused when that was part of the messaging on the exit. And he's a great guy. Matt's an awesome dude. I've like hung out with him a bit on the final days there, but that confused me. I'm like, is that really on the community? Because you've got lines around the block every single day. So
I think it just speaks to like how many factors are at play to make a successful business. Like, I remember having a conversation about food costs and with a restaurant that I did some work with a couple of years ago. And if your costs are off, like the busier you are, the faster you're losing money. So
wow.
It's not just about getting like butts in the seats. Like it's about management. It's about business acumen. It's about having, so many skill sets to make it work. And I don't know the details of the Scratch Bread situation, but I do know that you have to be wicked talented to like maintain a business in New York or any city. You got to be on top of a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. Here, let's play with another one of these. An unnamed publication lists top food cities of 2015.
I'm clicking on this because I'm hoping I'm gonna like be delighted and see some cities that I maybe have coming up on some travel plans. I feel like for me, I'm thinking like top food cities in the new year. I'm like, when is Kansas City gonna like get some love? I've been really digging a lot of what's been happening out in the middle part of the country. I feel like Madison is on the come up. I just like there's like some good spots that deserve more love. There's lots of eaters all over the place. And I also feel like because I live in New York and because so much of the media I consume is New York centric, I'm like, tell me what's happening out there.
Mm-hmm.
Show me the light.
You'll be happy to know New York did not make the top three.
What? Now that is some bullshit.
Like a real New Yorker, right? So spoiler alert, we'll give this list in particular, but they had the top three is DC number three, Baltimore number two, very close, and Pittsburgh. So all kind of the same region.
Huh.
I thought that was an
Eastern
interesting
seaboard. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting list. out to Tom Barr, old manager here at Roberta's, who actually has a place now in Pittsburgh. So that must be nice.
Yeah, not bad. I feel like I'm definitely making some plans to be in the Baltimore, D.C. area. So I'll be happy to put my mouth behind some of these assertions.
That's right.
And yeah, check out what's going on.
All right, last article. Grandparents predict food trends in 2016.
Yes.
We're clicking it, right?
Totally clicking
it. Gotta click it.
Totally. Respect your elders. How could you not click that?
How can you not? You know it's either going to be like surprisingly on point or, you know, just hilarious.
It's solid gold. You cannot go wrong with the grandparent picks. Also, like, the fact that that's going to come across your feed, I feel like we are in such a like weird age morphic space where you're like, I'm like, how old are you? I don't even understand that age. Like,
yeah,
I'm into it. I'm clicking.
Clicking it. Cool. That about does it there. Let's move on and give out some big ups. So, big ups. We like to close every week in review with just a moment to shout out some people, things, places that we're loving right now. The theme song is courtesy of the band Big Ups, ex-Heritage Radio Network engineers, real, actually, important players in the early days here. So, yeah, it's time to give some big ups. I'll go first. I'm going to be quick. I want to big up the ex-Roberta's team. The chefs that have come through Roberta's and gone on to do incredible things. So Samila, Pam Young, ex-pastry chef here at Roberta's with her man Jose Ramirez Ruiz. I mean, this restaurant was like on everybody's year-end list. It was unbelievable to see. So, I mean, congratulations to them and Gabe McMackin at the Finch. Those are the two I really wanted to spotlight right now because, I mean, he got a Michelin star this year with that small little place.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. So really fun to see some of the alum here going on and just crushing it in 2015. I did get to eat at both restaurants and easily two of the best meals I had all year, both very vegetable driven, very seasonal, just good stuff. Big ups, Pam. Big ups, Gabe. Congrats.
Nice. And big ups, I guess, Roberta's putting the team together, being that like space. So happy to be a part of it, obviously. I'm going to take us in a little bit of a different direction. My big ups this week is for Helen McDonald. Helen is an author. She's got a book that she put out in 2014 that's been kind of hitting a lot of the circuits. I actually don't really know why. It's come across my radar in a bunch of different ways. It's called H is for Hawk. And it's a really moving kind of memoir-esque about the passing of her dad and her experience working to train this hawk. And so wild to think about things from like a bird's eye perspective. And she, in the closing kind of moments of the book, has this really beautiful passage that really spoke to like the agrarian in me, where she's talking about, you know, at the soil level, thinking about all the activity that's happening in a lot of these kind of organically managed fields where she's flying her hawk. She's like, it's too small. You know, it's kind of too small for us to care about. Mm. And then on the opposite end, when we think about climate change, she's like, it's just too big. It's like too big for us to wrap our head around, and kind of trying to find these things that can be like a middle way, that can be a space for us to understand and engage with the natural environment in something that's a little bit more relatable to us on the individual level. And I think, you know, kind of harkening back to what Mitchell said, you know, you're out there, like, you're doing the best you can, you're doing things that like matter in your individual life. But I think it's like people need a space to be able to feel like they're having an impact and they can kind of wrap their head around something that's at their scale. And it was just beautiful. It's a great read. H is for Hawk, Helen McDonald. Get it anywhere fine books are sold.
What a tip. Recommended reading for the week. And I am very pleased to say that this brings us to exactly 25 minutes in the show.
We did it.
So we did it. Punctuality
you did
in the
it.
New year.
If you're still there, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening. If you have things you wish we talked about, wish we'd stop talking about, tips for us, questions, info@heritageradionetwork.org, @heritage_radio on Twitter. Sorry, Heritage Radio Network on Facebook. Find us. We're out there. It's not hard to find us. Write us. tell us things, get involved, become a part
of the
conversation.
Make a prediction of Jack's croissant intake for next week.
That's right. I really hope to have good news. Trust me. Thank you, Liz, for masterfully engineering that program. We will see you next week on The Week in Review. I'm Jack Inslee, joined by Aaron Fairbanks, and we'll see you next time.
Later.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.